Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to our 8:30 a.m. wake-up call at WBRX. And it's always an honor and a privilege for myself and my partner, Sean, to be able to, you know, just connect with everybody and share some of the things that, you know, are both going on inside the company and things that, you know, might be relevant to helping everybody build and develop their business. And we try to, you know, spend the time looking at who we have and what we can do to offer information that might, you know, move the needle, might help people advance in their understandings of what to do and develop the business. And certainly it's a great time for us to kind of get the week started personally, right? We can, you know, start talking about goals, objectives, ideas, and things that help us kind of move through our time, you know, our time, wherever we may be in our career, whatever we might be doing. It helps us kind of refocus and get re-energized and talk about the things that we can do. And as we, you know, speak here today, we're kind of concluding the month of July. And, you know, who would have known all the things that have taken place in our world in the last 5 months? I was talking, you know, with my family, my wife, and our kids have literally been out of school since the middle of March. And here we are, you know, now as we come into, you know, the end of July and entering into August, they've had one heck of a summer. And many of us are just hoping that, you know, that they can go to school and do the things that are part of their structure and all the things that they're going on. And that's really what I wanted to talk about this morning is that, you know, I think one of the things that I've noticed in all the time that I've been involved in this business is, you know, people get involved and they're starting to build this company. And it, sometimes it's the structure that's the most challenging thing for them to adopt, you know, creating a calendar of their own personal events, what things they're going to be doing. Because obviously when you, you know, when you're working in an employment circumstance, you have that structure kind of dictated for you, right? And I mean, right down to, you know, when you can take a break and when you can take a vacation, all those things. And now, you know, you move into the space where you own and operate your own company and you're looking for ways to be productive and be successful. And probably one of the things that I think eludes people more than anything is structuring their own time, facilitating, you know, in their own, you know, just kind of being cognitively aware of what you're doing hour by hour, right? And then looking at the day and saying, you know, was this a productive day or unproductive day? And, you know, I've talked with a lot of people that get involved in our business and creating that structure and being accountable to themselves is sometimes a challenge. And not for everybody, but for some. You know, if you've always been in a circumstance where you have structure dictated and determined for yourself, and then all of a sudden now, okay, you're the captain of your own ship, you're the president and CEO of your own company, and now, you know, who are you going to be accountable to? Well, you know, I feel in my role, I'm accountable to every person that's in the business, every brand partner, every founder. I feel accountability to my part. When I'm in that seat, when I focus in, I recognize that my activities, I'm accountable in my own mind to them, so I have to be as productive as I possibly can. It's not a contest. It's not a race. It's just a function of, hey, what I want, I mean, it's really, I ask myself this question all the time, but take yourself, for example, and you can always ask yourself, if let's just say that you have a group of people and they're in your business, okay? And we can look at the group of people we have on the phone. I know, Michael, you've got a group, and I know that Mitchell, you've got some folks in your business. Okay, on any given day, you can just ask yourself as an example, just giving an example, would I be excited if the people in my company, in my group, duplicated what I did today? Okay, it's really not complicated, right? Because when you're really looking at, you know, what you're building here, you're trying to create behavior, you're trying to create a duplication of activity that leads to some sort of duplication of a result. Okay, now when you first get started in your business, all you have is those big three, me, myself, and I. And so you're only accountable to yourself, right? So let's say that you don't have anybody in your business, but you have an accountability, and that accountability is, okay, am I going to set the standard for what I hope to accomplish today? Do I have my, what I call my at least list? So if you write down the things that you know at very minimum need to be accomplished. That's what I refer to as my at least list. And that's every day. At least I need to get this done. That's the at least. Now, the other end of the spectrum is really hitting the bar so that I really look at the list of things I have, you know, that I've accomplished in a day or I haven't accomplished in a day. And that's kind of my report card, right? So at any given time, there are different things that you can do to determine, you know, whether you're moving the needle forward or you're not. And I think this is very important. I think that we all thrive on structure. We all do much better when we feel productivity. We all feel like, you know, we're at least not going through the motions, like we're doing something to, you know, to advance our cause. You know, maybe we got involved in this business because we knew it was important to, you know, reinvent ourselves, to, you know, look down the road in the next 10, 15, 20 years and say, hey, here's where I need to see myself. And I'm a huge advocate of visualization, of being able to target in your mind what you believe your life should look like down the road, and then reverse engineer the activity and the game plan required to let you accomplish that, right? So if I'm building in this business, and this is just, I'm just sharing an example, and it could have been me back in 1992, 93, 94, or it could be me today. Okay, where do I see myself in 5 years? Okay, that may be my long-term perspective, my long-term visual, right? But that's got to be big enough and strong enough for me to, you know, do what's required on a daily, day-to-day basis. If that vision is not big enough and strong enough, then I'm probably, you know, not going to stay with the program. You know, if I'm not excited about the outcome 5 years from today, then I'm probably not going to do what's required every day, because every day there's tasks, there's meetings, there's conference calls, and any number of things. But I keep focusing in on where I see myself 5 years from now. And I go back and I learn this, you know. Both, you know, working at, you know, as a business owner and then as a distributor, and then certainly when we started our company, and you know, there were challenges that were associated with this mindset. I can vividly remember, you know, I came together with myself and two other folks that we started that company with. One was my friend and one was his brother-in-law, and I vividly remember, you know, we went out and put the money together and, you know, got the company going. And you know, it was slow go at first. It was not fast. It was slow. It was hard. Much slower, much, much slower than we have had here at WBRX. Not even close. Not in our first year, I think that we probably did in our entire first year 50% of what we've done now in the middle of a pandemic, you know, with all of the mistakes you can imagine, spending lots of money, hundreds of thousands of dollars of wasted money on a software package that never worked, right? I mean, we had an office at that time in Boca Raton. I mean, there were a lot of dark clouds that were looming around us at that time because we just had never run a company before. We didn't know who to go to or who to turn to or what to do to orchestrate. It was purely based on the entire experience we had as having great success as distributors. We had never had any sort of look back or people to kind of help us, you know, orchestrate the fabric of our company, knowing what, you know, what the end result should be, knowing how we would gain access to customers through our software. None of that, right? And even with all that being said, today at WBRX, you know, we've had some phenomenal results within a relatively short period of time, given the environment that we're in and all that's involved. I mean, remarkable results, right? We've got a great group of products, a phenomenal compensation strategy and plan, really pretty good now. We're getting narrowed down to our first 30 days in the business, what people are seeing, what they're instructed to do. We're working on that as a company, because we want to, you know, better define the behavior. But it's all based upon the structure that we have and understanding where it is that we want to go, right? Now, I can go back to that time in 2000 when we started the company. Hey, what I had to hold on to is where I saw us down the road. I can remember having conversations with one of my partners, and I would just share my vision. I'd say, hey, listen, you know, Just don't worry. There'll be a time when we have millions of dollars in our operating account. And I'll never forget, he looked up at me. This is one of my business partners, okay? He was the more negative of the two. And he said, Barry, that's never going to happen. We're never going to have millions of dollars. This is my business partner. I vividly remember it to this day. Now, I can really remember going back home and going, oh my gosh, this guy is my business partner, and he can't see the forest through the trees. He just doesn't believe in what we're doing. And, you know, I would connect with my other partner and say, hey, what's wrong with this? What's wrong with him? He'd say, I don't know, man. But I think that when I look back at that time, God definitely blessed us. He had his grace and mercy. But there were some challenges that we probably went through we should not have overcome. We shouldn't have overcome it. But we did. And there were lots of factors and reasons and all the things that the world will tell you. I think it was God's grace and mercy. But I also believe that I learned a lot about mentality, about lack of vision, and about having vision. And, you know, when we got down the road, about 3 or 4 years later, I nudged him and reminded him. I said, do you remember telling me? Because this is at a point in time when we were at about $1 million a month, okay, in terms of total revenue. And I asked him, do you remember saying what you said to me back when we first started the company? He said, yeah, you're right. I just couldn't see it. This guy had a degree in finance, was an attorney, smart guy, right? He grew up in a really good thing, but that didn't mean that he could see what we were building. And he wasn't able to grab a hold of it. Now, once we started getting on a roll, he was a phenomenal partner, who was always tuned in to every detail logistically, was ahead of me, never had to be nudged by me. He just knew what to do. I mean, he was working. He was just had a great work ethic. Now, that didn't mean that he had the right mentality. That didn't mean that he had the right vision. It just meant that he was probably a great employee for a company that he had ownership participation in. That's really what he was. And there's nothing wrong with that. What I encourage people to do is to, you know, just really – get focused in on what it is that they're trying to accomplish. One of the big things that you need to do, to build a successful business in this space is really designate your plan and then work your plan. Well, when I say that, and I remember people telling me that, it's one thing, to say designate a plan and then work your plan, but there's going to be challenges. I mean, do you think that, you know, here as we are today in WBRX, I promise you, every one of you on the phone have had challenges. We as a company have had challenges. You know, the challenges that we see today in, the global pandemic, the political environment, all the things going on in our country today. So that same wind is blowing on everybody. It's blowing on you. It's blowing on me. It's blowing on our families. It's the same wind. We're all dealt with the same circumstances, good winds, bad winds, challenging economic times, challenging interpersonal times or benefits thereof. So, you know, where there's always one person who's challenged, there's another one that's winning. One person that's surviving, another person's thriving. And what I've learned over all these years is that in most cases, it's a choice. And you have to designate a plan for yourself that you genuinely believe is going to allow you to get to where you need to get to down the road. So I don't believe in blind faith. I believe in tested faith. But it's always going to require an element of faith, right? So if you look at us today, I was sharing this with some people over the weekend, and these were, you know, highly sophisticated people. They see some of the advances that we've made in WBRX. They see, some of the things that we're doing to advance our cause and not just the existing CBD market, but also the future of dosing in the THC space, because we know that that's coming. We know that legalization is going to happen all over the country. We know that. So now it's incumbent upon all of us to cast and share the vision of how we're going to now become a company that does $1 million, $2 million, $4 million, $5 million a month. Now, as I say that, it's important that you realize most people can say that, but they don't have a pattern of thought as to how that's going to be accomplished. The reason I know that is I go back to myself in the year 2000 when I was sharing and casting vision. I was speaking out of faith, but not out of a pattern of how I could see it take place. I was focused primarily on trying to get a business plan put together so someone could advance to the top of the comp plan. Not like we are today at WBRX, where we've already gone through a stage where we've advanced the volume requirements to get the rank. We never did that until we were like 18 months to 24 months in the business. Okay, it took us, I think about, if I look back on it, about 18 months before we even had 200 people in our business, right? We're way ahead of that within WBRX. And we didn't understand at all the complexities and the value of developing customers. You know, one of the things that we've done within our company, guys, is we put together an incentive. We've said, hey, you know, if you go out and you just get, you know, three people as preferred customers in your business, we're going to cover your costs and your guest costs of coming to the 1 year anniversary in October. Now, frankly, if somebody can't figure out the value of putting together three preferred customers, what is a preferred customer? Man, it's just one person that says I'm buying one product, that's one customer. So if I have three people buying one product as a customer, I have the availability to lock and load, build my business, get myself into a position so that in October, probably late October, looking around October 24th, we're going to finalize that the first part of this week. Now, I know that I'm literally building, I'm taking the steps required today in my structure, right, to build and develop my business as I look out into October. Because now, just like anybody else, I'm building a business. Now, I know sometimes this thinking is a little more challenging. If you say, for example, you know, maybe it's spare time, part time, but you get to it when you can. You've got other things. You've got other things in life. I get it. But once you get to where you're committing more time and more energy and you see a benefit thereof, now it's different. The people I was speaking to over the weekend, you know, they burned in their first 3 months in the business, you know, close to $20,000. And their goal in their first year, frankly, is to earn somewhere around $200,000. And they're, you know, so I always look for the people. I try to zero in and work with the people that are, you know, and certainly, you know, myself and Sean, we're available to work with just about all the leaders that we have. But I always try to zero in on those people that are declaring and designating their own structure, their own mentality of how they're going to accomplish those goals, so that I can partner with them, because now we're kind of equally yoked, right? Now we're kind of focused in on the same vision, because I know this. If I can assist and help them accomplish this portion of that goal, then I think the company will help us accomplish our goal, right? Because them getting to a point where they earn $200,000 probably is going to mean an additional revenue to our company somewhere around $2 to $3 million. And if I want to accomplish the goal of allowing our company to get to its first $20 to $30 million in revenue, I've got to find a bunch of people like them. It can be them and it can be a bunch of folks down in their group, right? So if I've got a line, I'm focused in on the folks in that line that I can anchor the revenue of our company with by helping them accomplish their goal. Now, here's the challenge that sometimes people run into, and I'll share this with you, is if you try to make your goal and impose your goal on them, then it's challenging, right? But if you really help them surface what they're willing to commit in terms of time, effort, energy, and then help them see the value of establishing a goal, now you have the opportunity to help them facilitate and complete their goal by partnering with them. That's the mentality that has to occur before you start moving the needle forward in your business. And it can be a small goal. Hey, let's say, for example, if I have Gail in my business, and I say, Gail, you know, what can we do, what can I do this month, okay, to help you accomplish this goal? Let's say that her goal is to bring on three preferred customers. Let's say her goal is to have a person that becomes a brand partner. Okay, if I'm working together with Gail on a consistent basis to help her accomplish that goal, it's a lot different than if I'm trying to impose my will or my thinking into her, right? So it's different if she says, Barry, hey, this is my goal, What can you do to help me facilitate that? Now we can partner together. I'm just giving this as an example. I mean, it could be any one of us on the phone with somebody in our business that says, I need to tell me what I should do in my first 30 days as an example. Well, let's talk about it. How much time can you commit to the business? And then let's schedule a daily meeting where every day you and I spend time on the phone, not only discussing what we're going to do that day, I would say probably start in the morning, right? If I'm partnering with somebody and they're brand new in the business, and then we have those conversations. So it's the consistency of me pouring myself into those people. And if I know that those people are responding and they're going out and doing what's required and they're having strong, productive conversations, and the further along we go, the more engaged they should become, especially if they're making strides toward accomplishing that goal, right? And I say that that's on one end of the spectrum. On the other end of the spectrum, I may have some folks to say, look, we feel like we want to at least have somebody advance to PPC every month. That's a phenomenal goal to have. And what do you think you'll have at the end of a 12-month period of time? Probably a group of people successfully building and developing something because you've led the way. You've showed them how you can start generating somewhere between $6,000 to $10,000 to $15,000 a month. Who doesn't want that opportunity? And that's what my conversation really was over the weekend. Because these guys are, they're successful people, and somebody in their economic status, $20,000 over the first 90 days doing something, their group of people, that doesn't mean in their mind, it's like, well, that's not bad. And I can tell because they weren't even talking about it. And I shared it with them. I said, hey guys, I just want you to know, I've had conversations with some of the other people that you're talking with in your business. Some of them are pain management docs. Some of them are entrepreneurs. And every time I share that with them, the results that you've had, they all respond by, man, that's great. And the lights kind of went on. And the gentleman who I was talking to said, hey, you know what? You're right, Barry. The reality is to have an ancillary flow of revenue of even $5,000 in your first 3 months, but much less $20,000. That's probably something we should be talking more about. I said, absolutely. Yeah, so sometimes it really is just a function of kind of sitting back and saying, what structure am I going to use? What am I going to do today, right, that's going to be productive? If I have some creativity, if I have some things I want to designate, I just know that by the end of the month, here's what I really believe I should be involved with. If I believe I should be involved with at least, $5,000 worth of business in my company, or I believe I should be involved at least $100,000 of business. So if I do that consistently, if I start looking down the road and I'm saying, look, I'm going to figure out a way every month to personally be involved in about $100,000 of new business, one way or another, pretty soon that's going to start becoming infectious and it will start to become duplicated because the expectation will also prevail not just within us as a company, but with other people that are working and developing their business. Mentalities, vision, expectation becomes very contagious, either on the negative side or the positive side. Your mind does not know the difference. Your reticular, cortex does not know whether it's negative or it just knows whatever it is it's looking for, whatever it is that is on its mind, whatever it is that, that's most relevant, that's what it's going to gravitate toward. And it does not know the difference between something on the negative side or the positive side. So you have to be careful what you allow yourself to dwell on. But if you find yourself dwelling, I'm not talking about hocus pocus, mystical, and hopefully, let me just put a goal out there. And man, look, hope is doubt. I hate to tell you that. But if you have a designated goal and a specific pattern of how you're going to accomplish it, and listen, every day doesn't mean you're going to move the needle toward it. You may have some days where you set up a whole schedule of meetings and calls. And maybe those calls didn't happen because you got distracted because somebody in your family needed something. And you look at the day and go, oh, my gosh. No, I didn't really get to any of that today. I didn't make any calls. I did not advance my cause. Does that mean that you can't accomplish what you need to accomplish by the end of the month? Not necessarily. Some days you can make up for it. Some days you can't. Some days you can go to work the next day and you can do twice as much of the activity that you would have done. So it's individual. And I'm not trying to take what I expect and impose it on anybody. I've learned a long time ago that the expectations that I have of myself are going to be always much greater than anybody else has on me. I already know that. So I can just tell you this, you know, and frankly, there is a barometer, and we all have it, that we run into when we, you know, have a certain thing that we're willing to do, and certain times we're just not willing to do it. Okay, and it can, and a lot of things can be going on in people's lives. You know, they may have had a success. Let's say they're selling real estate, or they have another business, and maybe they've got enough security because they've got a lot of other things going on in their lives financially, where they don't have to designate the time to drive and grind this business. I get it. I understand that, and no harm, no foul. Congratulations to them for having other forms of income, other businesses. That may not be my situation. You know, I may have made a conscious decision to put my eggs here so that if I go to work and make this happen, I know that this becomes a cash flow machine that I can then diversify and do other things at a faster pace. That's my outlook. It doesn't mean it's everybody's outlook. So everybody has to pick and choose. I just want to encourage people to decide a pattern, designate something. Make sure you have a goal for this day, for this week, and for this month, whatever that is. And if you find yourself working consistently toward that goal, the likelihood of you being happier, more energetic, more positive is probably going to be much better than if you were not. Okay? It doesn't always mean that. I'm not trying to say it does. I'm just saying that the majority of the people that I've come into contact with over the years are happier, more energetic when they're pursuing a productive goal for themselves. If the, you know, the reality is many of the people that I've known over the years that retire and they've worked their entire lives in a productive fashion, they have money, they have results, but they retire and that they no longer have that purpose. They no longer have that element of productivity in their lives, and they find themselves withering away psychologically, personally, physically, because there's nothing that is there for them. And they're trying desperately to figure out a way to create that same structure and that same desire. I've seen people go through it, believe me. So it's all a personal decision. And I just try to get people to think about it. You know, think about what it is that you, where do you see yourself 3 to 5 years from now? I don't know where that is. I mean, we all have to think about it because in most cases, unless something happens different, it could be. I mean, tomorrow's not promised to any of us. But if you do make it down the road 3 to 5 years, the likelihood of you having had a facilitated goal and a vision of getting to that place rather than just by happen chance, by just kind of managing your time. I mean, let's just face it. We've got to be here till we go. We might as well do everything that we can do between now and that time to be as productive, as excited, and as happy, and as forward as we possibly can be, right? It doesn't mean that you're a better person or not as good of a person if you don't do this. That's not what it's about. It's about you making a conscious decision, and whatever it is that you're doing, and hopefully our business fits into part of this footprint for you. If it doesn't, that's okay. But just put yourself into a dynamic and a circumstance where you know what, you look down the road 3 to 5 years from now, and you set up a structure in your own life. If you want to become an entrepreneur and independently own and operate your own business and not be subject to the whimsical changes of someone else determining what you're going to do, okay, if you're working for someone else, there's nothing wrong with it. It just means that you're building somebody else's dream. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? But you have to realize, okay, that if you want to optimize the opportunity to have an outcome 5 years from now, make sure that that goal and that vision is big enough and strong enough to pull you into the future, right? The power of the future is a very, very strong force. It's much better to be pulled into the future than feeling like you have to push yourself, right? The difference between a lighthouse and a tugboat, right? There's a big difference. Allow the light of your future and where it's all about setting up a designated picture of how you would really want your life to look like, where you'd want to live, right? How your life daily would be, you know, spending time with your family and friends, you know, pursuing, you know, goals, spending time on vacation, traveling the world, whatever it is, it is objectively good in your own eyes. Now set up a pattern between now and that time. And here's the beautiful thing about this. I've seen people go from tragic circumstances, dismal lives, trying to figure out how to pay their bills, but they draw a line in the sand, they say the past doesn't equal the future, and now they start pursuing a whole different pattern. Your mind operates on the basis of what you tell it to do, okay? And your mind only operates on two functions, its memory and its imagination. In terms of where we are, and most people spend the majority of their time thinking about something they have no control over, and that's what has happened. And they go to sessions, and they kind of work through things, and they try to get past things because that's where the thought process is. Things that they have no control over, things have already happened, versus optimizing the opportunity to move into the future and start creating that imagination and that capability of where they could go, what could happen, of the results that could take place. And it's a whole different life. I can tell you, I personally get excited thinking about developing a company that's doing $5, $7, $10 million a month. I do. I like that. It isn't just the money. It's all that comes with that pattern. I've seen it. I've experienced it. So I know what happens when you have the people, you have the ingenuity, you have the right, you know, you have the right group and the right time. It's amazing. And I look out and I look at the time that we have right now, and I know we're in what's called modern day prohibition. I know it without a doubt. I can see it unfolding state by state. I can see the miraculous, unbelievable wellness benefits that are associated with this plant. I see that it does so much for so many different groups of people. I don't look at the negative. I look at the positive. It's a choice. Okay. I don't look at all the naysayers and all the stigma and all the negativity. That's my personal choice. I realize that that is ignorance in my personal opinion. That's what that's based on. Just like, you know, it's no different than anybody that operates their life on the basis of not knowing something, whether they're prejudiced or whatever it is. It's just ignorance. So I look at it and I go, you know what? They choose to put themselves into that mindset. They choose to not look out and see the benefits. They don't understand how this product is helping people reduce, you know, symptoms and seizures, inflammation, pain. I mean, these are real things that are happening to a broad spectrum of people, and they choose not to look at that, right? So I look at the positive. I look at the negative. I just want to encourage everybody. It's like, you know, kind of conclude my portion here and turn it over to my partner, Sean. Hey, just designate in your own mind something that will get you excited and will pull you into the future. And set up a pattern, a structure, on a weekly and daily basis and on a monthly basis that move you into the future in an excited way. I'm telling you, it's a whole different perspective than just getting through the day, right? There's a difference in taking as much as you can from the day than just getting through the day. There's a big difference between thriving and surviving, okay? Most people that I come into contact with in one way or another, they're living in a survival mentality rather than a thriving mentality. And that's got to come before the results come. Your heart, your mind, and then your pocketbooks, they come after that, right? So with that, guys, I really do always appreciate the time to be able to share this information with you guys on Monday morning. And I got to tell you, I'm excited to hear what my partner has to say today. You know, he's a guy that's, as you guys know, he's just out there every day. He's hitting it. He's working. And we got all these great things going on. And, you know, what a journey it's been for us so far together, brother. And I'm excited about what's going to happen. So with that, I'm going to unmute the line and I'm going to turn it over to you. Thank you for all that you do. And I'm going to sit back and listen to what you have to say. Go ahead, brother.
All right, man. Hey, yeah, appreciate it. Thanks, Barron. Great job as always. It's funny because I'm listening. I vacillate back and forth between listening, you know, as an owner, a co-owner and co-founder of the company, and having listened to you for now the last 20 years as a mentor and as someone that, you know, has always brought passion and information and delivered in a way that was just palatable for me. And so it's funny because I remember, you know, working for Enterprise and becoming a as many people in the business do, there's an evolution. Barry does a great training that's called, of course I'm going to draw a blank, but basically it's the life cycle of how people, building a marketing distribution company is the name of the presentation. But what Barry touches on and teaches on is how people, you know, they're exposed to the opportunity and initially maybe they get involved in a spare time, part-time basis, maybe, you know, 2 to 5 hours a week, right? And then there's your part-time. So you go from spare time to part-time and maybe that's 5 to 10 hours a week or, 20 hours a month. You know, it's a little bit more, but not quite something that you would do on a full-time basis. Odds are it's probably not throwing off full-time income yet. So you're still kind of growing and incubating. And then some people, that's kind of where they peak. That's their, they have a part-time business. They have a full-time job. They make some ancillary supplemental income and they're happy with that. And then I was that for a long, long time. But then I remember, having 1 foot in the business and 1 foot out of the business, having a full-time job and being very serious part-time, maybe, 40 to 80 hours a month when I was working, 80 hours a week for enterprise. But I remember as I was listening this morning, what really helped me make the transition wasn't the money. I mean, the truth is, guys, I was making, depending on commission for enterprise, I was making anywhere between $4,000 and $10,000 a month. And then with my journey with Barry as my mentor and my coach and my friend, I was literally making somewhere between $5,000 and $15,000 a month. Well, the truth and the reality for my situation back then was I got greedy. I thought, well, if I can balance an 80-hour work week at enterprise and then add on another 5 to 10 hours a week with my part-time business and make, literally 10,000 from one and 10,000 from the other, why wouldn't I continue to do that? Well, the truth is, guys, time is finite. We all share the same 24-hour day, right? Even if you're in a different time zone, whatever time zone you're in, midnight's midnight and dawn is dawn and noon is noon kind of deal. And it was actually a life coach, a business coach looked at me one day and said, I'm really happy that you have figured out a way to diversify and more than double your income, but what is it costing you? And I really had to reflect back and I had to look and I didn't understand the question. Like, what do you mean? It caught me the cost of doing business. I buy my product, I buy my marketing materials. I host some dinners. He said, no, Sean, it's not what I'm asking you. And pardon my expression for those of you on the call. I don't like to use swear language on the call, but the point that he was making is valid. So this kind of justifies it in my mind. But he looked at me and he said, I'm not talking about the hard cost of your business. He said, I want to know the toll it's taking on you and your family. And he says to me, how long do you think you can ride 2 horses with 1 ass? And I never forgot that because it was a pivotal moment for me, as Barry was talking about today, where I had to start making some decisions. Was I going to stay in corporate America? And was I going to build someone else's dreams? Or was I going to take that leap of faith, capture my own destiny, take the reins of my own destiny and then build it, work as hard as I already was working for somebody else. Anyway, I saw a meme or a joke one time. I don't remember where I came across it, but an employee goes up to the business owner. And he says, man, that sure is a beautiful Ferrari. And the business owner says, I know. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. He said, listen, you keep working hard. You keep putting in the hours, you keep getting to the office early, you keep staying late, you keep doing all the things that you've been doing, and odds are I'll be able to get another one. And obviously that's a pun, it's a joke. I'm sure that as you're reading it, if I delivered it well, I don't know, but as you're reading it, you think he's saying work hard and you too can have a Ferrari someday, but no. The punchline is you keep working hard for me and I'll be able to afford a second one. And I just didn't want to participate in that environment anymore. I wanted to really take the reins and be responsible for my success or for my failure. And I'll tell you guys the harsh reality of my story. When I write my book for you guys all to purchase, joke, but when I do write my memoir someday, I have countless successes. I don't even know how successful that I've been or I'm going to be, but I have twice as many failures. And I don't count them either. I don't keep track. I don't keep a tally. I don't live in yesterday. I live in tomorrow. I'm interested in tomorrow's success is not yesterday's failures. And so it was, but it took something changing inside me. And one of the things and the reasons that I'm so grateful you guys are on the call and that Barry and I are such good stewards and we take this information and this time so seriously is because, guys, in my corporate environment and my experience, this is the only place that I was getting this kind of information. I mean, even church. I love church and God bless various faiths, and Barry and I are not here to browbeat you with our faith, but wherever you worship, that is a sovereign time. And when you're connecting with the divine, God, whatever your beliefs are, that is very, very special time. And I do believe that that time feeds your soul in many, many irreplaceable ways. But sometimes you need to have, you know, healthy, fruitful, encouraging, raw, real business conversations too. And I wasn't getting that at work. All I was getting at work was drive your numbers, inspire your staff, increase your customer service scores. No time was spent on my personal development. And I'm not talking about feelings here. I mean, feelings are important too. It's fine. Hey, I feel valued. I don't feel valued. All that's fine. But no one was saying, Sean, you gained 40 pounds, dude. Is everything okay at home? Sean, you used to get to work an hour early. Now you're 2 minutes early and you seem disheveled. What's going on in your world? Sean, you're working 80 hours a week. You don't want to leave when the store closes. You're continuing to work. What's going on, dude? Are you good? No one in corporate America ever said that. It was Barry and Barry's former partner that would take the time and sow into my life. And it changed me in many ways. It changed me as a father. It changed me as a man. It changed me in my relationships with women. It changed me in my corporate views. It changed me in my, believe it or not, my spiritual walk. I began to tithe more. I began to tithe accurately. And again, I'm not putting that on anyone. I'm just saying I had to go through this evolution. And it was really as a result of calls just like the call you guys and we are on right now. It was these calls. Now, back in the day, they were face-to-face meetings. But literally, I looked forward to church because I needed to hydrate my spirit man, which I was not doing a very good job of. And then I looked forward to our manager meetings, which is essentially what this call is, because otherwise I was just doing the grind. I was being the dad. I was going to work. I was punching the clock. I was making the money. I was paying the bills. If you guys remember the old Dunkin' Donuts commercial where the guy gets up, like his alarm goes off, something ridiculous, like 3 in the morning, 2:30 a.m., 3:30 a.m., and he hits the buzzer and he gets up, and it's a little short, kind of balding guy, if memory serves. This is years ago. But he gets up and he's just motoring around the house, muttering to himself, I got to make the donuts. I got to make the donuts. I got to make the donuts. And while I wasn't in the donut business, that's exactly how I felt. And so one of the reasons that we encourage and we hope that you guys are on these calls and that we're delivering information that will change your world. It will change you personally. I'm not talking, again, Barry did said it a great job. If WBRX is a part of that journey, a stepping stone or the straight and narrow path, whatever WBRX is to you, we want you as a person to grow. Whether you find the cure for cancer or you start another company or you just become a better husband or wife or father or mother or even an employee, if that's what you feel called to do, an airline pilot or a small business owner or someone that just makes the best, you know, I got a buddy that I went to high school with that got into the food truck business. He worked for Enterprise after high school and he worked for Cintas. He worked, was a VP for a large multi-billion-dollar company. And he and his wife cashed in all their chips and they bought two food trucks and they make hamburgers and that type, gourmet hamburgers and that kind of deal. And then they make pizzas on their other truck. But I would tell you, they leave it all on the battlefield every day. Now, it's a grind I wouldn't want to do in July cooking in a food truck with no AC, but they make money hand over fist. They do the business together. They decide the days they're going to work, what time they're going to open, what time they're going to close. They have creative menus ideas together. All of that to say he's an inspiration to me because he's the Michael Jordan of the food truck industry. He's the Pavarotti of the hamburger. And I aspire to be around people who just want to achieve greatness, and I aspire to be around people who I can help achieve greatness, which is what, you know, again, what these calls are for today. So one of the things that I read this week, and you guys know, I mean, thanks to Barry and other mentors and teachers in my life. I've been very fortunate to start getting into reading. But one of the things that I was reading John Maxwell, and I was thinking about the difference in how I've become, how I was a leader in corporate America and what that looked like, whatever that even means, right? I was a quote unquote leader. I had 60 to 70 employees. I ran 11 locations, $88 million division. But was I really a leader? Was I a good boss? Was I a bad boss? Was I a lighthouse or was I a tugboat? And it's just funny because I remember, you know, reading this quote from John Maxwell. It says, leadership is not about titles, positions, or flowcharts. It's about one life influencing another. And that just really touched me because in corporate America, bull, it is about titles. It is about position. It is about flowcharts. It's about all those things that people believe it takes to run the business, the P&L and the, you know, driving margin, creating revenue, and all those things are important. Don't mistake that I'm saying I know what it takes to run a business. I know what it means to be in the red. I know what it means to be in the black. I understand you have to drive revenue and you have to control costs, but that's not leadership. That's not leadership. Leadership is inspiring people and influencing their lives and allowing them to influence yours. Now, the only thing I think Maxwell misses here, and I think it's probably implied in the book, is in a positive way. Believe you me, guys, you know, one of the things that I would tell you, I was reading a Denzel Washington quote, if I can think of it, but basically, you know, if you believe in generational curses, which I do, I believe they're scriptural and, that, you know, there's generational blessings and there's generational curses, and we can have that conversation offline sometime if anyone wants to. But one of the things Denzel Washington was quoted as saying is your own family will talk bad about you when you are in the process of breaking all of their generational curses. This journey is not for the weak. And that's no truer anywhere than in network marketing direct sales. Oh no, Gail. They got you too. You didn't give them any money, right? Like you didn't sign up or like, oh no. You know, they don't know. People don't know what they don't know. I was one of those people. I was approached by a guy named John, said, hey, come to this meeting. I want you to meet this guy. I think there's going to be a doctor from NASA there. I think there's going to be a professional athlete there. And you know, I had the arrogance at the time to say, well, you know, I don't know what they don't know, but I would never get involved with a network marketing company. A doctor from NASA. And I'm working for Enterprise Rent-A-Car with $10,000 in credit card debt, high school education, just literally trying to make ends meet. But I didn't want to go to a multi-level marketing meeting because I somehow knew something that these people didn't. Are you kidding me? I mean, my arrogance makes me nauseous today. But that's how most people walk around. They would have you stay in poverty. They would have you stay on the track that you've always been on, the area of comfortable. You know, Barry one time gave me a book for Christmas called The Dream Giver. And one of the things in the book it talks about is border bullies. I forget who wrote The Dream Giver, but I remember that's the name vividly. So if you want to Google The Dream Giver, and it talks about God giving someone a vision or a dream to pursue with their life. And the border bullies in the book even says, most time the border bullies, when you're about to leave the comfort zone, the people who will try to get you to stay are mommy and daddy, brother and sister, best friends since second grade, often a husband or a wife. How dare you leave comfort zone? How dare you achieve something greater? And they don't say it that way. What they say is, I worry about you. I just want everything to be okay. I don't want anything bad to happen. And what that really says is, I don't believe in you. I don't believe in me. I don't believe that this world won't kick our rear ends and that you won't fall on your face. And somehow that failure is less tragic on your deathbed than having never tried at all. I don't believe that. God bless my life. I've never been on my deathbed. So I arguably don't know that of which I speak, but I would rather be on my deathbed, at least at 43 years old, I believe this today, I would rather be on my deathbed talking about and reflecting on and laughing about all the chances I took, whether they manifested in success or not. I would rather be laughing about all the chances I took, all the trips and falls and wild adventures than how I wish I had done A, B, or C. how I wish I had told someone I loved them, how I wish I had tried harder in that relationship, how I wish I had, you know, tackled that black, double black diamond ski slope, whatever it may be. It doesn't always have to be deep and spiritual and heavy. Sometimes it's like, you know what? I just wish one time in my life, just for a season, I would have been committed enough to my health to have six-pack abs. Now, that's not really on my bucket list, but if that's on your bucket list, the journey literally can start today, right? You know, one of the things I love about Steve Jobs, because I'm not, Barry will tell you, I am not an Apple fan. I do acknowledge they have a phenomenal product, but some of their, and phenomenal marketing and phenomenal technology, but I have my own different challenges with their, well, anyway, this isn't a conversation about Apple. I just don't like that you can't connect some Apple devices to a normal LCD without 32 different adapters. It's a personal opinion, but that has nothing to do with my respect and how much I value what Steve Jobs was able to accomplish through the Apple platform. Now, please hear what I just said. I made those two things distinctly different. Steve Jobs was a man. He used the Apple platform to touch billions of lives. But Steve Jobs was Steve Jobs. Apple was Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs wasn't Apple. It came as a creation of him. WBRX is a composite of me, my partner Barry, and all of the distributors who participate and who give input and who build the business. We create the culture. We create the Apple. Apple doesn't create us. And so one of the things I love, he was quoted as saying, pardon me, he was quoted as saying, being the richest man in the cemetery doesn't matter to me. Going to bed at night saying we've done something wonderful, that's what matters. You know, the Michael Jordans, the LeBron James, various athletes, Walter Payton, you know, Emmitt Smith, Troy Aikman, these people that have achieved greatness, Tom Brady's multiple championships. You know, it's funny because Tom Brady was quoted, and I don't have it anywhere in front of me, but it said something to the effect of, I think he had won his fourth or fifth championship, and he was quoted as saying, you know, I thought it would feel better. Like I'm beginning to wonder, is this it? And I would tell you that's a person who doesn't measure his own success by a ring or a championship. I honestly think that was Tom subliminally saying, I didn't leave it all on the battlefield. I'm not done. I haven't given all I have to give, despite the trophies, despite the rings, despite the millions of dollars, despite the supermodel wife. I have more to bring to this earth. And those are people that just, I mean, flat out inspire me, like move me to tears on one side and rage that I haven't given enough on the other. I mean, just inspire me. But as it relates to our business, you know, I would just tell you that it is a marathon. You know, it is not a sprint. People that get involved and they don't stay involved, they get involved for the wrong reasons, or they don't, frankly, and again, I'm not trying to preach to the choir and present company excluded, unless the shoe fits. This is an if the shoe fits, wear it conversation. But most people don't want to do the personal work, the personal development journey to have something different. And then if they do, usually, and I'm only talking generalities, even if someone says, I'm committed to the personal development journey, I am teachable, I will do what it takes, I will get up when I need to, I will work as long as I need to for 3 to 5 years, not forever, for 3 to 5 years to build something bigger than me that throws off residual income, so I either don't have to work or don't have to worry about the time when the time comes that I can't work. Even the people that have that commitment, we're impatient by nature. Are we there yet, right? I mean, I was definitely that kid. Dad, are we there yet? Mom, how much further? I need to go to the bathroom. I have four beautiful children. They're the same way. Barry's got five beautiful children. I suspect they're the same way. So one of the challenges that we face in this business is one, people aren't committed to doing the personal development many times, and we have to understand that. We have to know, we have to identify, and we have to just inspire, lead, and develop them the best that we can based on their personal situation. And the second thing that we have to know is that people, by and large, myself included, right, want to blank quick, get rich quick, have six-pack abs overnight. I mean, every diet you see, eat anything you want and still lose weight. I mean, BS, but that's what marketing gimmicks would have you believe. So one of my favorite quotes that I'll conclude with is when Jeff Bezos, who today, obviously, as you guys know, owns Amazon, still the richest man in the world after divorcing his wife, or her divorcing him and him giving her half. So now you've got a divorced couple that's the richest man and is a byproduct of the richest woman in the world. But he met and was discussing business with Warren Buffett. And Warren said to him, and I don't remember exactly, Bezos said something to the effect of, Warren, your investment strategy is so simple. Why doesn't everyone just copy what you've already accomplished? And Warren says back to Jeff, because nobody wants to get rich slow. And I just think that's hilarious because it embodies exactly what I'm talking about. No one wants to spend their entire life committed to a cause, committed to one thing or a cadre of small things, you know, three, four things that they focus in on and become rich slow. They want to get rich quick. And by the way, I don't blame them. You know, Elon Musk, I said I would stop with the last quote, but I'm going to give you one more just to grow on, so to speak. Elon Musk said the average retirement age is 67. Your average life expectancy is 78. So you work for 50 years in hopes, by the way, it's not even a guarantee, in hopes that you'll be free for 11 years between the time you retire and the time you die. How in the world does that sound like a viable, fair, or even remotely fun deal? I'm going to work for the next 50 years. I'm going to retire. I'm going to have 10 or so good, you know, fun, free, do what Sean wants to do years. And then I'm going to exit this world? No, sir. No, ma'am. Not me. I am not on that journey. I'm on a radically different journey. And what we're doing is simply inviting people on that same journey, on a different journey than what most 87% of the people walk around doing every day. I am okay being a 13%er. I might even have t-shirts made that says I'm a 13%er. Ask me more. Because I just believe people need to hear the message. And again, we've talked very little about WBRX, guys. This is, WBRX is just a phenomenal vehicle to get people from point A to point B. Phenomenal, phenomenal products, phenomenal leadership, phenomenal opportunity in a phenomenal growth industry. But what we're really talking about is the human condition. We're talking about inspiring each other and making each other better every day. And we just have to realize some people aren't interested in that journey. That journey. Forget what business you're running. Say it wasn't multi-level. Say we came up with a salary structure and benefits and decided to go corporate America 101. Our culture and our philosophy wouldn't be any different even if our pay plan and our comp plan was, and people still wouldn't join us on that journey. It's a tough, tough road, as Denzel Washington said. So with that, I'll kick it back over to my partner, Barry. You guys have no idea how much we appreciate, how much we value you and your time. These calls are very special. If you can't tell, I'm fired up. You know, I told Barry, I got up this morning, went for my run, did my exercise. I got to keep up with him because he's swimming 4, 5, 6 days a week now and looks like he's 32, not, you know, sneaking up on you know, late 50s. And so I'm just honored to work with you. You inspire me as a person. You inspire me as a friend. And I love the accountability and the nature that we have as partners. So I'll kick it back over to you. You guys have a fantastic week. Let's get busy. Let's be productive. Let's have lots of activity to close out July. And anything Barry and I can do, we are absolutely here to help you. So thanks a lot. Barry, back to you.
Great job, Sean, as always. Really love all the information that you bring, and actually took some good nuggets away from that. So, guys, we're here. We appreciate everything that you're doing. We're closing out the month of July. Do not forget, okay, just as a closing comment, that if you have 3 preferred customers by the end of business this month, July, that you will then qualify to have, to have no cost of entering the event, the year anniversary that we have. We're going to have that, and we'll announce that this week with regard to the exact date of that event, but we're looking right at, I think, October 24th here at the Zaza Hotel. So we'll announce that, but guys, it's going to be a phenomenal event. We believe at that point in time, it'll be just before the election, that we're going to have a different, every month changes, right? And I think that there'll be a different vibe. I think that there'll be a sense of anticipation. I think that, we'll be managing to move around a little bit, you know, differently in our world here as a country and as a state. So we look forward to that. Just want you guys to take advantage of the opportunity to get those three preferred customers in the system, whomever they are. It can be your brother, your aunt, your uncle. It can be your best friend. Just make sure that you have three people buying at least one product as a preferred customer, and that'll set you up to have a big, you know, certainly it will revive your business and get you moving forward in a positive way. It will also reduce your cost of operating this business as you move into that month of October. So with that said, guys, have a phenomenal week. We look forward to talking with you, and we'll get with you very soon. God bless. Bye-bye.